In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. Let's go right to the elephant in the middle of the room. As I look out at you, I picture lots of bubbles above your heads that illustrates people's thoughts. You know, like the ones pictured in the comics. Over there, I see one that says, "Wait a minute, didn't she leave in January?" Over here, one that says, "Do you think she knew she was coming back all along?" And over here, there's a newcomer that's saying, "Who is this woman?" Each of these thoughts, along with others, are valid and reasonable. So, as a prelude to my message, I think it's respectful to offer a personal reflection about my being repurposed in a newly created role here at Redeemer, and how this position embodies a favorite proverb of mine: "The afternoon knows what the morning never suspected." The afternoon knows what the morning never suspected. When I left in January, it was hard, and it was right. There was a personal sense of vocational knowing that indeed my time as associate rector was complete. And that is the word I kept using, complete. My plan was to welcome Sabbath time as in between what was and potentially what was to come. I did know that I was not ready to retire. This past Memorial Day, I preached in Linville, North Carolina, at a very special chapel in the mountains. The gospel for that day was from John, the one that I asked to repeat today. While preparing that sermon, I had an aha moment, a new insight about that story that was profound and pricked my soul. I will say more in a moment about the gospel, but in one of those godly moments, my theology about church in the world took a turn. It was almost palpable how it has expanded my understanding of the role of spirituality as a complement to a faith community. About that same time, David started talking with me about returning to Redeemer in a new role. He and I had continued to be amazed and humbled by the overwhelming response to the mental health first aid training. Not only the fact that 166 people completed the 8-hour workshops, but there was an obvious thirst for more. So maybe my time as associate rector was complete. Clearly, that effort was not complete. David and I spent time reflecting about what we needed to hear from the congregation's response. While yes, participants were educated on various characteristics of mental health, what was consistent and surprising with each of the 15 workshops was the community of companionship that organically germinated. the authentic sharing of the stories and personal experiences brought people together. It was an amazing and unexpected byproduct of the offerings. Individuals, through the telling of their narratives, were heard and seen by others. They were heard and seen by others. The Holy Spirit then wrapped her arms of acceptance and respect to solidify the individuals connected through their vulnerabilities. So stay with me here, and let's go to John's Gospel. You know the Cliff Notes version. A crippled man has been coming to the pool along with crowds of other suffering people for 38 years. He has been unsuccessful in his attempt to get to the water, which means there has been no healing. Jesus spots him and asks if he wants to be made well. The crippled man said, "There's no one to get me to the pool." At that point, Jesus simply says, "Pick up your mat and walk." Now, we could use that simple vignette for any number of sermons, but wait, that's not the part that intrigued me. Several verses later, the newly healed man, mingling in the crowds, is asked, "Who healed you?" And this is the pivot point for me. He shakes his head, shrugs his shoulders, and points, saying, "I don't know, that man over there." The healed man does not have a clue who Jesus is. His healing was not a result of any faith-based belief. From his perspective, his well-being came about because he was finally seen. Another human being initiated an interaction with him. Someone cared. Remember what he said to Jesus when asked if he wanted to be healed? "I have been coming here for 38 years, and no one helped me." He had been invisible for all those years. So as David and I talked over many weeks, I suddenly connected the dots between the dynamics within the mental health workshops and the crippled man. And that is the power of connection, of being seen, the capacity and opportunity for a type of healing that comes within a community of vulnerable individuals who desire to share their stories as they listen to one another. Each of us has our own story that is filled with episodes of struggle and pleasure, light and dark, knowing and unknowing. It was in the understanding of the possibility of contributing on a larger scale in this parish that I felt a rejuvenation of passion for this broader ministry. It was also offered as a clarity of a new role in my own spiritual journey. "Always we begin again" is a favorite proverb. Always we begin again. I am truly beginning again as the Center for Well-Being begins. So as I look out, I now see other bubbles of script over your heads. Over there, exactly what will the center provide? Over here, who is the center for? And over here, is there an actual center? The center is an initiative that seeks to bring a wide variety of topics into Redeemer as well as the greater Baltimore community, directed at well-being. art, music, physical movement like yoga or breathing, traditional and alternative treatments for emotional health, group and spiritual formation prayer, as well as others, will be considered for inclusion. The topics will have one common theme, and that is well-being. Well-being we interpret as having a centered peace in your soul that feels at peace. You can have a sense of well-being even in your struggles, or at a minimum, hope for such a place. We will provide workshops, education, support groups over a period of time, as well as develop an extensive resource list for providers that may be of support to you. The center is ecumenical in scope. For instance, currently there's a rabbi who has submitted a funding proposal to offer a Jewish-centered workshop here. Is there an actual center? The office for the Center for Well-Being is on the third floor of the parish hall, and I have jokingly offered my gratitude to David for sweetening my offer to return by installing an elevator to get up there. However, in the interest of well-being, I will be taking the stairs.
Show off.
There is another component to David's well-being, which will be discussed in private. There is also a resource table in the narthex exclusively for a variety of timely articles for you to pick up. In addition, every week in eRedeemer, there will be what we are calling the centerpiece, a link to other resources. This is where you can also find upcoming events sponsored by the center. I want to end with a very tender email I got after the center was announced. Dear Caroline, the center sounds like a wonderful idea. Thank you for putting it together. One need I have, and I think many others as well, is to work on anxiety and stress. I'm not able to get these under control. I often wake up at night stewing about something or multiple things. Then I'm tired the next day and angry with myself. Making decisions becomes difficult. And then because I'm tired, I can't get done the things I should get done. I have not found the familiar church teachings to be the solution to this. So I wonder if the Center for Well-Being would be able to help somehow. Thanks so much again for doing this. When I read this, my heart leapt with joy in the sense that is exactly what the center is all about. Hearing from you about your needs and vulnerabilities, and then responding with respect and kindness. The center seeks well-being for the whole human family. Amen.